Think of what you've just sung. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night, thine eyes diffused a quickening way. I rose, the dungeon flamed with light, my chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, came forth, and followed thee. That's the testimony of these girls. And, you know, we don't get the significance of what's taken place in their lives today. But on that last day, there's that other hymn of McShane. When the wicked start and shrink on the fiery deluge brink, then, Lord, shall I fully know. Not till then, how much I know. We won't really understand fully the significance of what's taken place and Christ's coming to set them free until we get to that day. But may the Holy Spirit open up our eyes a little bit to see beyond today and the little concerns of now and ponder the significance of what Jesus has done for these precious girls. They've embraced Christ, and so I'm going to ask them regarding their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll ask them to respond. Do you, Bethy and Amber, do you believe in the one true living in God who exists in three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And do you believe that He made all things out of nothing, that He always upholds them in such a way that nothing comes to pass apart from His sovereign will?
Yeah, I do.
And do you believe that left to yourself, you're a hell-deserving sinner born in original sin and guilty of great personal sin?
I do.
And you believe that you are a sinner wholly incapable of doing anything good to merit God's favor, and that you have frequently broken His commandments in thought and in word and in deed?
I do.
And do you, by faith, trust alone in Christ and His burial, death, and resurrection for your righteousness and salvation?
I do.
And do you, with grief and hatred for your sins, turn away from them and to God with full purpose of and endeavor after new obedience and a holy life?
I do.
And do you embrace the Holy Scriptures, Old and New Testaments, as inspired by God, inerrant and authoritative, and therefore your only rule of faith and practice?
Yeah.
And do you take the people of God here in the universal church, in this local church, to be your people to whom you owe a solemn accountability?
I do.
And do you resolve to live a life worthy of Christ and constrained by His love to forsake the world and its lusts and to seek His well done in the last day? Well, then on the basis of this good confession, I will baptize you. Bethy, could you come down and fill out personally by your testimony what the Lord has done for you?
I was blessed to be born in a big family in a loving and Christian home, and my parents and siblings have helped guide me to God and where I am supposed to be today. A lot of people say that they used to dread family devotions. I used to dread it too. It took my attention away from my playthings and put it to thoughts that bored me and or frightened me. Now I love and cherish family devotions and can't wait to see what I learn from them every time. I remember one sermon Pastor Chansky preached a long time ago. It was about hell and how it was a real place that I deserved. And I don't deserve all the blessings that I do have. And how by the grace and mercy of God, I can be saved from my sins. I was really scared by that sermon, but it got me thinking and still impacts me to this day. Death became real to me when my older brother Matt told me that Caleb Vennett had died. That Caleb that would make funny faces at me when I sat with Amber on a Sunday was gone. It took a long time for that to happen, and it shook me a lot. Then when I was about 12 or 13, there were about 4 straight months where I cried myself to sleep thinking, what if someone I knew wasn't going to wake up in the morning? What if I was the one that didn't wake up in the morning? Where would I be? But I knew I would be in hell, and that scared me. I know that I deserve hell, and I am the lowliest of sinners, but Christ was sacrificed on the cross for me and died to save me from my sins. And because of Him, I can spend eternity in heaven. John 3:16. In 2010, I went to a youth retreat in Grand Rapids, and it was probably one of the most influential weeks of my life. It was packed with and full of lessons that taught me so much about God and how I should live. The theme was get up, get dressed, and get going. And it was basically saying, when you get up in the morning, put on the armor of God and go out into this world and be an example. 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all those, to all believers, in what you say, in the way that you live, in your love, in your faith, and your purity. 1 Timothy 4:12, this verse has made me think a lot about how I am an example for the younger generation. I remember when I was littler, I would see the teenagers in church and watch how they acted. And now I think, what if kids are looking at me that way? How am I being an example for them? I hope to be a good example for them now and in the future with my behavior, speech, love, faithfulness, and purity. A big trial this past year has taught me that I have to be patient and put full trust in God and pray that He will handle it all. Although I still struggle, I learn and relearn patience, contentment, and giving all my problems to God. And I know whatever problems or worries I have, I can pray to Him, and I know He's got me under His wing. I can't set a date to when I was saved, but I know, but I do know I have and love Christ now, and I am His, and He is mine. Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation.
It's a good testimony, Becky. And now, on the basis of this testimony, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Bethy, He spared not His only Son. He freely gave Him up for you. How will He not give you all things? And one of those things is, you're having taken Him as your Savior, He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Now you stand over here, Bethy. Amber always has a servant's heart. And did you notice how she spoke of Amber in her testimony before she even knew that Amber was writing her testimony? And so the Lord interestingly worked this out.
Since the day I was born, 1995, I was taught the good news that Jesus died on the cross for sinners. Growing up, I had a very strong will, which often clashed with my older brother, Caleb. And when I clashed with Caleb, I clashed with all my siblings, so often I got the cold shoulder or the silent treatment. This always left me feeling angry and lonely. The need for love and forgiveness is what led me to Christ. Ever since I was born, I've been taught of His everlasting love. I yearn for that love. So with my head, I would ask for Jesus to be with me and help me to be strong. I know now that I was missing half the good news. It wasn't until 8 or 9 that I truly realized what a sinner I was. Truly, I could be a good girl at church, but then when I'd get home, my attitude would completely turn around. I felt like such a hypocrite. I don't remember the exact day or time that God came into my heart. I remember many tears and pain and the need to ask for forgiveness for my sins. But this time, the plea came from my heart and not from my head. And by the grace of God, I was born again. I'm so grateful that Jesus came to the world as a man and yet God. His obedience as a boy and as a man was perfect in contrast to my anger and pride. I am not good enough to stand before a holy God. I am putting my faith in what Jesus did for me when He died, with His life to pay for my sins. 1 Peter 2:24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. The hymn voices my heart when it says, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, would die for me? Now I see that I can never be strong enough, that on my own I fall, I fail, but the Holy Spirit convicts me of my sin and assures me of His love and strength, and He strengthens me to walk by faith. I am still a work in progress. Please be patient with me as I strive to continue to learn and grow. God's promise in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will uphold you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It is an encouragement to me. It is now the desire of my heart to be added to their number, Acts 2:47, to follow His command to be baptized and publicly take my stand for Christ. I surrender my all to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior.
That's a good testimony, Amber. For those of you who can't see, there's water here. And this water depicts how Jesus can rinse clean even the foulest. His blood can make the foulest clean. And she's going to be buried in the water. Zechariah speaks of sins being cast into the heart of the sea. And the idea of being buried with Christ and raised up to newness of life. All kinds of lessons that come from Amber's being baptized in these waters. So keep this in mind, Amber. You are a hell-deserving sinner. Your righteous deeds are as filthy rags. But on the basis of your confession, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I trust it's true, Amber, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it and complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. All blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. John, would you please lead us in a prayer that the Lord would seal this ordinance of baptism to the hearts of these girls and even to the hearts of those who are witnesses.
Father, we see this ordinance, this symbol that your loving kindness is everlasting. It continues to this day. It reaches down to sinners. And so we give you thanks. You are a great God and greater to be compared. So we give you thanks this day. Thank you for Amber. Thank you for Bethany. Thank you for these good gifts that you have given. We thank you most of all that you have given your Son for them, and that you have chosen them in Him and made them righteousness. We pray that your righteousness would seal them, that it would become their joy and their glory, that they would walk in your ways and find that they are peace. We pray that they would always remember this day, that they would remember the message, that they would remember the admonitions, that they would remember our faces as witnesses, and your goodness to them and to us. So our hearts are full, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bethany had requested a hymn earlier, and let's close with the hymn that Amber has requested, hymn number 27, Blues, Great is Thy Faithfulness.